What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Smoking Tire Podcast. This episode is brought to you by the Thinkware Dash Cam, Thinkware's best and latest dash cam. The U1000 is now available. It's able to capture clear and crisp videos of your drive. The U1000 is the very first two-channel dash cam in the world to boast a native 4K UHD front and a 2K QHD rear resolution. In addition to just amazing video quality, the U1000 can save you money with its speed and red light camera alerts, or make you a safer driver with lane departure warning and front collision warnings. With the convenient remote live view and parking impact alert cloud features, you can instantly check on your car or be notified of potential hit and runs. The U1000 and Thinkware's full range of dash cams are available online and in-store at Thinkware.com, Best Buy, and Amazon, both in the U.S. and Canada. With coupon code SMOKE20, that's SMOKE20, you will receive 20% off any regular price Thinkware dash cam at Thinkware.com. So go to Thinkware.com and use code SMOKE20, that's SMOKE20, and get 20% off anything they sell that's regular price. Protect yourself with a Thinkware dash cam. We're also brought to you by Crown & Caliber. Listen, guys, I don't know if a lot of people know this, especially on this show, that people buy used watches. And not only do people buy used watches, you should buy used watches. The high-end Swiss watch market is a lot like the car market. And like a car, a Swiss watch can lose a lot of its initial value the second it goes out the door brand new. Let someone else take that hit, folks, and buy your watches used. I have bought almost every watch that I own used. Almost. There's some that I couldn't buy used, but almost every other one used, and frankly, I've never regretted it. Watches are much simpler than cars, and typically they're better taken care of. And with CrownandCaliber.com, my sponsor for over 2 years now, what you see is what you get. When you look at their website, that watch you're looking at is the photo of the watch they are selling. When they say that watch works perfectly, they back it up with a 1-year mechanical warranty, folks. They're offering mechanical warranties on used watches. That's what's up. Crown & Caliber has Rolex, Omega, Breitling, Patek, AP, Tudor, all the good stuff. Anything you want, Crown & Caliber's got it. Thousands of watches in stock. Oh, we're going to have to get a new discount code, but until then, use my old discount code, WL150, that's WL150, and get $150 off your first watch purchase at CrownandCaliber.com. All right, on this episode, my friend Amber Blonigan is in studio. Amber is the owner of GI Motorsport in Beverly Hills, Santa Monica, right on the border of Beverly Hills and Santa Monica, East Santa Monica, West Beverly Hills, California. They work on Porsche, McLaren, Ferrari, Lamborghini. She has a lot of experience dealing with exotic cars and the people who own them. It's Amber Blonigan on the Smoking Tire Podcast.
What's up, everyone? It's the Smoking Tire Podcast. Same day as yesterday, strangely enough. All day at a press launch that most people flew into, but I was here locally for. And then the studio in the afternoon with a beautiful blonde-haired woman. Yesterday was Lynn Woodward. Today it's Amber Blonigan. Hello.
Hello.
How you doing?
I'm amazing.
Welcome in.
I'm beautiful.
You are. Both of those things are true.
Yeah.
You brought a beautiful blonde friend with you.
I have another beautiful blonde.
Yeah.
Feeling pretty good about this.
We're not giving her a mic.
I know.
Because
she's gotten enough in life
because she's a beautiful one.
Exactly.
Which is something you said
like
is not
that
voice. Not
true. She's like my voice. That's the thing.
What is this, she's my voice? You came in before going, here's this girl, she's my voice.
She's Irish, so she's got this amazing accent.
Oh.
So it's just great to have her speak for me.
Oh, that's what you mean. Oh, yeah. My dad had an English assistant once, and I had her record my outgoing voicemail message.
Yeah.
Hello, Mr. Farah is not here right now.
Oh, that's great.
I don't do it well, but she did it.
We'll have Amy do my outgoing message. I'm sure she'll be honored.
Yes. From now on, and just have her send voice notes to people. What the fuck is this? Someone's going to think you stole her phone.
It's good.
Or she stole your phone. Yeah. Hello. Welcome. Hello. How's your day?
It's amazing.
Thank you for joining us in the tail end of our studio at this old crappy building. We're moving across the street soon.
It feels really formal, though. Last time I think I came to your house.
Was that the last time on the show when you were with Shackelford in my my old house?
Yeah, you guys were really excited because I think it was the first female that you ever had on.
Right.
Yeah.
Probably.
Those were the days.
Now we cater to women here because we got soft lighting. Before, yeah. Like,
and
before
the
we
whole,
had
like Me Too thing, you know.
No,
like,
no. Before we started having women on the show, like we had like those fluorescent lights, which was like fucking whatever. And then we had I don't even remember who it was. Someone came on the show and it was a beautiful woman. But then we looked at the video later. It was like, oh God, what did we do? It's like, quick, soften the lights. Like, let's not ever let this happen again.
Lighting is very important.
Yeah, we're gonna bring in like a person at the new studio to do like nice lighting.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah. Oh, and get this. That. This is going to be so cool. Yeah. You're going to dig this. My brother-in-law, John, makes acoustic panels. That's his gig. Sound deadening panels. And, picture the Porsche 996 gauge cluster with a big central ring and then some concentrics.
Yeah.
So we're going to have that in a silhouette. So it's like just the rings, right? Mm-hmm. Concentric of the same shape with a big TST in the middle of the main logo. And it's going to be 9 feet wide by 4.5 feet on the wall of the new studio.
That's very cool.
That's how we're going to have our.
So that's going to be the sound. That will
be
the panels.
That's going to be the one main panel. The good news is we're building the room, so it's the inside of the walls that matter.
That's good. But so
you
everybody
came for a
will
tour.
Sound like really sexy. That's great.
Sexy. I mean, with good lighting.
People with good voices. Yeah. I won't. I will not.
Yeah. No, you're doing all right.
I'll still sound like this.
Yeah.
I'll sound just
14-year-old, but also working in a real job.
It's going to be like this, but with better microphones and sound deadening. I don't know why any of that matters. It seems
because we're going to look great and we're going to sound great.
Because we haven't spent a dime on this show in 10 years.
I'm going to be like, you guys won't be able to get rid of me. I'm like, well, aren't you so good in this lighting. I sound sexy. I just want to be here.
Aren't you going to like set up a desk at the new shop?
Yeah.
I think you are.
Yeah.
How long have you been at the new place?
She was going to set up a desk at my new shop. Okay.
Yeah, I'm just going to be like the hanger on. People are going to be like, who's that girl? She's kind of hot. She sounds good. As long as there's good lighting, is there going to be good lighting?
I promise.
That's really what it is.
So Amber has been a friend of mine since 2013, 12, 11, maybe, something like that.
Like 11 or 12.
11, are the CEO and owner of GI Automotive Group, German independent.
Previously.
Did you drop it like KFC?
Yeah.
Now it's just GI?
Now it's just, because we work on other cars aside from German cars, and that was very confusing for people.
Right. Like it's not really enough chicken to use the word chicken, so you have to go call it KFC.
Exactly, no. Yes.
Yeah, you can't pigeonhole yourself.
So we just made it more generic GI. So
actually, don't you guys work on, like, not, I would like half maybe is German? You guys do a lot of McLaren now.
Well, when I started, it was primarily Porsche and then kind of Mercedes, some Audi. But now mostly we're doing like Ferrari, a lot of Ferrari work, Lamborghini work, McLaren, Aston.
What are people getting done to their Ferraris? They're not really the tuner crowd.
No. But we do a lot of service and maintenance.
Oh, okay.
So service and maintenance is kind of the core of what we've always done because, you know, there's like not a lot of profits in the aftermarket stuff. So you have to do something to pay the bills and keep the lights on.
That's okay.
Yeah.
Service is good.
Yeah, I like service.
Every car will eventually need service. Not every car will need aftermarket parts.
Right.
You know, liar.
One of those things. Yeah. Well, it depends on who you are. But
true.
Yeah. No, service is kind of one of those like necessities, not the wants. So it is a good thing to do.
Yeah. So, all right. Let's back it up because I fucking was probably drunk when you were on the show in 2011. And fucking our audience was probably in middle school at the time. So, how did Amber Blonigan become this the key holder to the kingdom? That Zach, this is when you pull up the picture of the kingdom.
Oh, there's the kingdom.
There's the kingdom.
Oh. There it is.
The kingdom of cars.
Kingdom of cars.
How does this happen? What is the story?
So, I really liked cars, and I kept breaking my cars because I thought I was a phenomenal driver, and I just wasn't. And also, you know, the streets in LA, there's a lot of potholes. Anyway, a lot of issues.
Just in terms of like damaging your shit?
Yeah, there's a lot of damage. Yeah. So I just didn't like the experience I was having at other shops or dealerships or whatever. Because it was like, I mean, at the time I was quite a bit younger. I looked like I was 12 years old. I'd walk into these places. I'd either think it was like my dad's car or my boyfriend's car or whatever it was. So they'd kind of like give me the runaround, probably overcharge me. And I'd end up like just never getting the result that I was looking for. So I just kind of started my own thing in the beginning because I was like, you know, I really love cars. I love to do this. I can't really achieve the get the you know results that I want. And then it just kind of grew from there. People liked it. I did like it was based on a very simple thing. If you pay for it, you get it. Which seems simple, but in LA, it's not that simple.
Why is it not so simple in LA?
I don't know. I don't know. It's
weird. Do you just mean like in terms of people trying to scam you out of free shit, or in terms of the other way, like the? Do you mean like?
No, like if you go to a lot of shops or you know other places in this industry, you know, you get this huge invoice, and like a lot of times, if you actually were go through and audit that invoice, there might not be a lot of things that you paid for. Or it wasn't done right or whatever. So I just wanted to, you know, have a shop that people could simply just get what they pay for.
Yeah. I found a shop overcharging me once. I caught somebody.
Yeah.
And I don't think they overcharged me maliciously. I think the person buying parts for them was not smart and nobody was watching that person.
Yeah.
And that person was paying like retail, like the retail of retail.
Yeah.
For some stuff. And I am, and actually, once I called them out on it, actually, they dealt with it very, very well.
Oh, that's good.
So it was fine. I think I think in that particular instance, it was an honest mistake. But if I wasn't, if I didn't carefully pay attention and actually, like, look up the wholesale price of, like, some of these parts, I was like, oh, Jesus Christ. Like, why are spark plug wires like $390? You know what I mean? Like,
your bill will be $5,000.
Right, right, right.
But yeah, I mean, I think obviously the automotive industry isn't known for its like transparency and honesty always. So, you know,
I feel like because there's like a select group of customers that like a bunch of like shops and stuff kind of like need. Like there's a, you know, there's a limited number of sports and enthusiast cars. I mean, it seems like there's a lot, but there's not that many, you know?
That's why I guess you're right. There's probably not a lot of that business out there, but that's why we do service and maintenance.
Oh yeah. No. Of course.
But yeah. Like I see a lot of these places like really trying to like compete with each other and do all these weird things to try
as,
to get
oh, as
that,
far as like the tuner? Exactly, because
they're all competing for that same kind of pool of business. But I don't know, I just kind of...
The runway racer?
Yeah, I just kind of try to do what I do and do it well and hope people notice and show up.
I mean, the runway thing, and like that's a cool, good business, and we all like the cars that exist because of it, but then you are... That's why they're all competing for like 12 more horsepower. You know, what's the bigger number every year at SEMA or at the runway race or whatever? And it's just you're always kind of chasing a dragon that's just continually going further and further away.
But aren't a lot of those guys, like the shops that are real big in the runway racing, aren't they bankrolled by one endless pocket customer usually who's like...
I think so, yeah. It seems to be kind of the program.
Yeah. Bring that mic a little closer to you. Is it me? Because you're like...
She's a little quiet.
I'm just really quiet.
I know, and I'm
trying to sound really like,
I like
sexy
loud,
and
but...
hot. It's not
like a chat line.
Hi, welcome to the smoke.
Although, listen, it's probably good for... Yeah, like, she can do your voicemail, but you've got to do our intro.
Yeah, exactly. There you go.
Yeah, you're listening to the Smug and Dire podcast. I think that'd be brilliant.
Isn't it great when you just talk really low? Things just change, get really awkward.
Yeah, it's that NPR lean in. Yeah.
So wait, back in the day when these shops were dicking you around, what was the vehicle you were trying to get worked on at the time?
My first like real exciting car was a BMW. I had a 7 Series, and then I got an M3. Mm. Very exciting. And then I got an 8 Series.
Oh, you do still have it?
I still have that. I actually still have that thing.
Is your son driving it?
No. Listen, the cost to maintain, it's ridiculous.
It's a 50, right?
It's a V12 850. Yeah. So it's just kind of, remember a few years ago, I kind of pulled it out after I'd sat for I don't know how many years.
Yeah, you were do something with it.
Well, I redid all the interior. I took the engine out, resealed everything, and then it sat again. Pretty much since that was like 2014,
yeah.
I think I drove it twice.
Yeah, you can't have a car like that if you're not going to drive it. It's going to be a pain in the ass.
It is a pain in the ass. Yeah. I think
just give it to me. I'll drive it.
Okay.
if you fix it and you give it to me, I'll take care of it for you.
Okay, I'll give it to you.
I'll drive it a bunch.
I don't know what to do with it.
I mean, I'll take it.
Yeah.
If you really don't want it, I will happily take it off your hands.
Why don't you? Why would you drive it?
No, I just have a bunch of cars. And I have to drive other cars, and I have too many cars to drive, really, is my issue.
Driving an 850 is awesome unless your other car is a fucking McLaren or a or any number of Ferraris or Porsches or whatever.
Yes, exactly.
You have to like be at a certain level to really enjoy that 850.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's cool, and I did drive it from like one storage location to another storage location. Recently.
What an event.
I thoroughly enjoyed that 5 miles.
No, you're beyond the ability to enjoy that car at this point. I just don't think you can. You're too spoiled.
It's heavy. It's a heavy car. You know what I drive daily, though?
What?
You know, it's like absolutely my favorite car, and I could drive pretty much any car I wanted any day of the week. I drive an electric Fiat.
I don't blame
500E.
You.
500E. Love it.
I don't blame you.
It's ridiculous.
It's a good traffic car. It's a good, like, dealing with the bullshit of LA car.
It's just like a little go-kart.
Yeah.
It's perfect for LA traffic. I can park it anywhere. I can leave it anywhere. Parking's free a lot of places. It's weird.
Oh, because you just park it in the EV zone?
Yeah, but like, I think West Hollywood and Santa Monica, you don't actually have to pay the meters with that.
Oh, an EV.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's cool.
I know.
That's my favorite of the 500s. That drives the best.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is. It's quick.
Yeah.
It's super quick. It's very torquey.
And it might cost less than like a cell phone.
It's, I think I pay like $90 a month. Yeah. It's like I spend more on gas in a week on those other cars.
It's so cheap. We once had an unpaid intern that drove one.
Yeah. Like. It's exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And my dog loves it. I have a big slobbery pit bull.
Is he?
He's so good.
He's very handsome.
He killed a rat yesterday. He was very happy about that.
Nice.
He left it like at the back door. He was like, "Look, I got you a gift."
He's very handsome.
It's a dead rat with a. There he is. Yeah. Tore open its belly. It was nice.
I can respect the 500E commuter car. Yeah. How far is your commute every day?
Oh, it's like 3 miles.
Oh yeah, so it's perfect for that. Yeah.
Yeah.
In fact. You should really be riding a bicycle. Can we get you in one of those vintage electric bicycles? They rule.
Yeah, get me one. Does
it costs more than the Fiat, though.
It probably
does. A lot.
Yeah.
It costs way more than the Fiat. It probably costs more to buy one than it would to buy the Fiat.
Well, if one of your listeners has a company that has bicycles.
No, vintage electric. Yeah. They gave me one for a month as a demo. They would definitely hook you up.
Aren't those bikes $9,000?
The one I had was $6,000.
Okay.
Yeah, they're expensive.
So it's like... What is that, like 50 times more expensive?
Way.
You could lease it for like 5 years.
You could get a dozen Fiat 500s.
The Fiat's actually crazy. So I was going through the glove box and I pulled out the original like window sticker. Mm-hmm. The car like...
Did you buy it used or you lease it?
No, I just leased it. I did out one of those like lease specials or whatever that they were doing. But it was a $34,000 car.
Yeah. It's hysterical.
That's bananas.
But they just couldn't give them away and there's still tax. Even if you discount the hell out of the car, there's still the tax credits and all that shit. Yeah, they're super cheap.
Yeah. Well, they're going to stop sending them to the U.S. now.
I am not surprised.
No more, I think the Fiat 500s at all, because apparently Americans don't like little cars.
No, Americans don't like fucking Fiats.
Yeah, why?
Earmuffs, because they fucking suck.
No, they're great.
No, that's the 500E is the only Fiat I have ever driven that I would consider like...
Yeah.
Like, the Abarth is, like, all right, but it's, like, $30,000 or $28,000 or whatever it is. And, like, come on, no. But, like, I get the 500E.
Yeah.
It's so cheap that I'm like, yes.
Yes,
at
exactly.
that price, that's a hell of a car.
Yeah.
You know, but I don't know.
Well, that's why I originally got it, because I was like, I just need, like, an extra car for when somebody needs a car. And then I honestly drove it a few times, and I was like, I love this thing.
Yeah. Well,
nobody else can have it.
In the city, electricity. In the city, electricity. That's a lot of. In the city, electricity makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
And it feels nice to use it.
Yeah.
I just drove Taycan. Taycan. It's not Taken.
Yeah. I think Taken sounds better, though.
It does, but in the preview, they were like, Taken's a movie with Liam Neeson. I was like... As a matter of fact, anyone out there, get the custom plate on your pre-ordered Taycan.
You should.
Not Taken.
So I have
Charge
on,
it up,
deposit on one. How'd you like it?
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Did you get a Turbo S?
I don't remember. I just gave a deposit. I didn't build it yet.
You should ask.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. The Turbo S, I mean, look, there are downsides. There are two. We'll just start with two downsides.
Yeah.
It's $187,000. Mm-hmm. That's one downside. Downside number two is that the Electrify America infrastructure for the really, really fast charging, for the 350 kilowatt charging,
yeah,
there are zero
yeah.
anywhere in the West, like anywhere west of downtown, anywhere south of the mountains. There's none yeah. right now.
Yeah.
And, you know, level two charging at home is still level two charging at home.
Yeah.
Okay. That being said, fucking bonsai fast, this car.
Yeah, I bet.
This thing is bananas, dude.
Yeah.
It's I'm talking like upper big Tahunga today. Wait till you see the video.
Yeah.
I think if you laid it out with the McLaren 720, it would be close. Like, this thing is bananas fast.
Do you know what the curb weight is?
I don't. It's probably, it's in the fours for sure.
Yeah.
But it has the lowest center of gravity of any Porsche. You know, it has infinitely torque vectoring all-wheel drive. Yeah. It has, like, all this craziness. This one had the, you know, the, like, 17-inch ceramic brakes.
Yeah.
And it's really, really...
Is that the weight?
It runs a 10.8 quarter mile. And that's Porsche's number. That's yeah. their number. And yeah. I ran that. I ran, like, a three-second run to 60 with, like, 50 miles left on the battery. After, like, I hammered the shit out of this car. It was great.
Yeah.
It was real. Like, people are going to get their money's worth with this fucking thing. This is nice.
I'm excited to drive one.
If I spent this kind of money on an EV, this is exactly the thing I would hope to be getting.
Yeah.
It has it has the 911 steering rack in it.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Done. Yeah. Done. You've driven a Tesla, right?
Yeah.
That's like a fucking force feedback bullshit steering. This is like 911 steering.
Yeah.
It's like, whoop, we're good. Yeah. Stopping here.
That's great. Yeah, that seems to be the thing that some of the electric cars are really missing is just a good steering suspension.
You know, Porsche got way ahead with it by starting the E-Pass in 2015 or wherever they started with it. They got a lead on it, and now they've got that technology to make an electric car steer like a car is supposed to steer.
Yeah, yeah.
And not like a video game.
Yeah.
It's so good.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
Is it self-driving?
No. No. Okay. This is the EV for people who want to drive their car.
Yeah.
And but like, I you know, just like a Tesla, you drive it like a complete piece of shit because the silence makes it diminishes any shitty thing you just did by a lot. it makes weird Jetsons noises.
Yeah.
Good. It does make both inside and outside the car. It makes weird Jetsons noises. The brakes are normal feeling brakes. They're not weird hybrid-y feeling brakes like the e-hybrids they make.
Yeah.
Have those hybrid-y brakes where it's like regen.
Yeah.
And unlike a Tesla, you can't one pedal drive this thing. Like, you know how a Tesla, when you lift off the pedal, it like cranks up the regen so it like brakes?
Yeah.
This is max coast. So when you lift off the pedal, it removes all resistance and it lets you coast as far as possible.
Interesting.
Yeah, I ran it really low on battery after the canyons, I coasted down the canyon like, I think, Morningstar will tell you, but I think it was like 10, 11 miles I coasted. And I didn't brake either. I was like, I'm going to see how fast I can go downhill.
Wow.
And I fucking caned this thing coasting.
Yeah.
And the cornering speeds are insane.
Insane. That's great.
There's a corner on Upper Big Tahunga that I allegedly take at like 110 miles an hour in sports cars.
Yeah.
Allegedly. Allegedly today I took it at 124.
Jesus.
You know the one I'm talking about where there's a passing lane where it gets wide. This car is bananas fast.
Yeah.
It's the shit. But
when it feels good in the hands too. That's the big thing.
Like, it's very good.
You know, electric versus non-electric. What do you think the future is with that? And how do you feel about that?
All about the infrastructure.
Yeah.
If you can make it as easy as gas or close. Yeah. Like the 800 volt, I went to an 800 volt, or not an 800 volt, excuse me. My EV terminology is terrible. I'm sorry. I went to a 350 kilowatt charger, that one, which is in front of a Walmart and a Best Buy.
Yeah.
Here's where Tesla's got Porsche. Because all the Tesla superchargers in it's like Santa Monica, 3rd Street Promenade, Malibu, Country Mart, they're in nice places. This is not so much.
A couple places, I feel like Santa Monica, Malibu, yes. But outside of that, you have to go down to like Culver City to Fox Hills Mall to
charge your mall's not great.
Tesla.
Mall's not great.
Yeah, it's kind of a weird place to have a bunch
of... Where is the right place? I don't know what the right place is. Yeah. Forget where it is.
I feel like the right place is where the Teslas are, which is not... At the Fox Hills Mall in Culver City.
The right place is your house. Your own house. Not your house, but just your own house.
Tesla's coming over.
But So it once I got it connected to this thing, the 350 kilowatt, I charged from like, I think I was at like 12% battery to 50% battery in like 8 minutes.
Oh, that's incredible.
It was fast.
That's the thing that sucks about that little Fiat Electric is that it literally takes over 24 hours to fully, probably longer. And you get like 80-mile range.
Yeah, yeah.
And that depends if you use air conditioning or like
there's no anything. Super fast kilowatt hour, whatever.
There is. There's like the fast chargers, which still take, I think, like 5 hours.
But that's a level. Fast is a level two.
Yeah.
So this is two steps beyond a level two.
Yeah. Okay.
So a level two can charge this at 9.6 kilowatts.
Got it.
This is charging in that thing at 350 kilowatts. It's so much. And so Taycan has this crazy heating and cooling integrated system.
Yeah.
Because, like, at some point, like, there's all this shit in the car.
Yeah.
And sometimes it needs to be hot and sometimes it needs to be cold. So they developed one system for the brakes, the battery, the motors, and the cabin and everything that just shuffles heat and cool around as needed in real time. It's actually really, really fucking cool.
Yeah.
And because of that system, because of the 800 volts, you can charge it much faster with this system.
But
you're limited by the city's infrastructure. So,
like,
it's going to be all about how easy it is for people to charge. That's going to be everything.
But isn't there something where, like, it's actually polluting the environment more with the batteries and all this? Like, somebody told me there's some place in Poland where there's, like, if you look at the satellite maps, there's, like, a black hole where they're dumping all these batteries. And
so batteries also,
like,
themselves.
I don't know the details. Like, I haven't read that much into it, but I know that there's been some recent claims saying that, like, these electric vehicles are actually contaminating the environment more than gasoline.
Disposing of them,
it
might be dirtier.
Yeah.
So from what I gather, and this may not be right, but I believe this is correct. I've listened to a lot of people on this. How clean or dirty your EV is compared to a gas car is really heavily dependent on how your state gets its power. If you live in a really clean state or country, then driving an EV and taking advantage of that clean power grid is good.
Yeah.
If you live in a state that survives on coal or something particularly dirty, then using more coal to charge your electric car is worse than simply buying a very green gas or hybrid car.
Well,
that makes sense.
Jason Finske at Engineering Explained did a really good video all about how much force you get out of a gallon of gas, you know, thing of coal. Like, it's basically like electric cars versus gas cars. And so he used coal as a supply for the electricity versus gasoline. And even if you use the dirtiest supply of electricity, or sorry, the dirtiest form of creating electricity, you still get more units of energy from that power than you do from a gallon of gasoline in an efficient car.
Right, but does that account for the emissions of those? Like, you know what I mean? Like, you get unit energy, but is there also a unit emissions that is different?
I don't know if he included
the
video.
I would defer to him.
Everyone, it's a really good video he did. It's really interesting. So Engineering Explained. It's pretty fascinating stuff.
2.4 million subscribers. Good for fucking Jason.
Wow.
Jason's a good, cat-loving boy.
Learn more about it. I don't know about his cat loving, but
it's true because you have
respect
like
all cat owners of this show.
Oh, I have a cat.
Do you?
Yeah.
Do you actually?
Yeah.
Did the cat get along with the dog?
No, the dog wants to eat the cat.
Oh no.
Yeah. No, just my daughter found this like little kitty in the alley, and then my aunt was like, "Oh, it'd be a really good thing. You should bring it home. Your mom will love it." And he was like, you know, it's obviously a joke.
Yeah. And now you have a kitten?
No, it's a big cat now.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, it started.
But it hasn't been eaten yet.
No, it's pretty fierce.
Does it bitch slap the dog?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He's got a lot of little scars on his face.
That's very a good cat. Cute. Good cat. Yeah. Like it.
That's right. You have cats.
I have four cats. Yeah.
You have four cats. Mm-hmm. No dogs?
Mm-mm.
Not a dog person?
No, not at all. I love dogs.
Yeah.
My and my wife's travel schedule and work habits would not be fair to a dog.
Yeah, cats are a lot easier.
Maybe one day if we are a little more homebound.
Yeah.
I would love a dog.
Yeah.
I love dogs.
Yeah.
But cats are, with our schedules, cats are very complimentary.
Well, you can just get those pictures. There's like dog assist papers like everybody else in LA has.
Oh yeah, well,
for like
this,
all their mental illnesses
this
and whatever.
Is my therapy cat.
Because everybody has them.
Someone had a huge therapy dog on a plane I was on recently, yeah. Like a giant golden retriever, and I was like, I like dogs, and I would be kind of happy if someone's dog sat next to me, but like this dog took up a lot of floor space, and the guy next to this poor person, I feel like
they're all super entitled.
Let me see your papers. You should be allowed to. No, you shouldn't. I don't want to traumatize
people. I think that's also illegal.
If the person with the
therapy, cracked down on it, for sure.
It's illegal to ask for the papers.
If you bring a dog, so I do it sometimes. I just roll into like restaurants in Beverly Hills with my big slobbery pit bull, and people are like, "Oh, can I see your papers?" I was like, "No, you can't."
You are the worst. You're the worst.
Very entitled.
I know. I'm just trying to fit in.
All right, let's go back to your cars.
Yeah.
Or. If we don't want to talk about your personal cars, you've driven basically all of the newest crop of supercars. And you going back to, 10 years, 12 years, 15 years.
Yeah.
What do you think of the trends in cars from where we started 10, 12 years ago to now? Are you happy with where the world of supercars and sports cars is going?
It's interesting. I feel like, at the maybe like 2008, 2009 was kind of the last of the really like raw exciting cars. Like after
limited
that,
stability control, stick shift, stuff like that.
After that, just a lot of technology came in that made them a little less fun, a little more controllable. So I guess it depends on like what you're trying to do as far as your driving. It's good and bad. There's not any more like real raw, like holy shit, I might die right now cars.
Well, I think you have to go to those
like the
really
older
small
Lambos
volume.
And like, some of those cars you were like, you have one.
I do.
Yeah, and I saw
if
that.
If you go very, very fast in it, it gets hairy.
Yeah, and I have the LP640, which is is kind of a similar experience.
Those kick hard.
Yeah, they do.
You still have that white one?
I still have it, yes.
Jesus, that thing is still around, huh?
Yeah.
Good car.
It's a good car. But they're scary, right? Like, they're exciting. Scary in, like, a good way.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't really have that experience with any of the new cars. I've driven all the hypercars,
They make it all
like,
pretty easy, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. And you can be just, like,
LP.
There it is. I still have both those cars, actually.
CLK Black was lovely, too.
Oh,
that's a good car.
I love that car.
Yeah,
you
CLK
can do
Black
everything
series
in that car.
One.
So good looking. Such a good looking car.
Yeah.
Does the gearbox feel okay? Or is that kind of dated, the transmission? A little slushy? CLK?
It feels dated, but I like it,
It's good for it's good in, like, automatic for cruising around. For the manual, like, the downshift blipping is a little
Well, old. I did the WiseTech tuning on it.
Oh, they have a gearbox tune for that
car? Yeah,
oh.
Yeah, yeah. So it makes it... Yeah,
helps a lot. Doesn't quite bring it up to like modern speed, right? It's better. Because that car seems like it was so advanced in terms of like chassis and grip and everything, and it's nimble and hardcore, but then when you go to shift to those cars, you're kind of like, oh, this is what they put in this? The SLR, same transmission as like a C32 and just...
The SLR is not good.
No.
I had one at the shop today.
I am not an SLR fan.
Yeah. I loved them. I mean, I just think for the time, they're really, really beautiful and I think really like advanced and cool, and that kind of collab with Mercedes and McLaren was like,
great
fun.
Engine, but...
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not good. They're not good. I don't like them.
Give me
an SLS any fucking day over.
I also thought that the SLK was better looking in this generation than this car. I do.
Zach makes a good point.
This is just
the SLK.
It's like, did you like the SLK or the SL? Sorry, the SL. We got even more hood. That's what this is. It's an SL that's just like even more stretched.
Oh, you like your car look like a dick? We put some car looking like a dick on your car looking like a dick.
Yeah.
Would you like to drive an actual guild penis?
I feel like
those
front engine Ferraris kind of look like that.
They are all very,
like
very cock
like. Yeah, it kind of looks like a giant. And the back of the car on the F12 is like looks like a woman's like.
Oh yeah, there's anatomy. Some uterus going on there.
It's a circle of life.
I don't know who designed that car, but they were like.
Does that mean business in the front, party in the back?
Yeah, I don't know what that means. It means that guy was having a good day when he designed it.
Yeah. So 08-09 is your piece. So it's 997 era GT3s, Ferrari 599s.
Those were all just great cars. I don't know.
Pretty rowdy.
Am I getting like old or I don't know.
No, you're not.
It's just like, they're great cars. I mean, today the cars are great. Like, they're for sure, like, the things that they can do are incredible. But you know what I'm kind of excited? Like, I feel like right now Aston Martin's doing some cool stuff. Like, I'm really excited for that Valhalla, the Valkyrie. Like,
oh,
those
yeah. Wait,
cars,
wait, which is which? The Valhalla's the crossover? Is that the crossover? Valhalla? Or is the Valhalla the...
The Valkyrie's the crazy thing.
The Valkyrie's going to be, like, the track only. I don't think it's going to be street legal. And then the Valhalla is like the baby Valkyrie, I think.
Oh, that's the
kind
actual,
of what they're
yeah,
calling
right,
it,
right.
Which is going to
yeah.
be street legal.
The mid-engine street legal Aston.
Yeah, but yeah. I mean, it's really, it's just the aero on that's like incredible. But I'm excited to see, obviously these cars haven't been delivered yet, but it's pretty exciting.
I mean, that's crazy if you happen to have multiple millions of dollars to spend on something.
Yeah, who doesn't though?
Everybody
I mean,
does.
That's the thing.
No.
Like, you just have to have multiples of millions and just buy cars.
Yeah. And
there's that's
people.
What's
see,
people,
kids? That's it.
Yeah.
That's all you got to do.
Just do it. Like, you just
like
show up
and
buy
just
it.
Buy the cars. Yeah.
No. I mean, I think that's what, you know, all the millennials on Instagram think.
Well, true. Instagram think, will let you
they
believe
don't,
that
they don't
bullshit.
Get, like, the whole thing, like, up until then. They're just like, oh, they just went and bought millions of dollars of cars.
Well, some
like,
of them.
We did some work
did.
Before. It's weird. Like, we worked. We sweat, we got dirty, put some effort into life, and then we could buy the cars.
Some of them did just get the cars.
Yeah.
But
not
you know,
very many, though. We just happen to know a lot of
it
them.
Is, they're very highly concentrated.
Yes.
I just, what bummed
they
me out about
the
cars. They
have a really good
like,
Instagram. That's the problem with those ones, also.
Yeah.
Is,
yeah.
Is they usually have the most popular Instagrams.
Yeah.
As
yeah.
good as, like, you know, modern performance cars are, and they are fucking amazing.
Yeah.
And as much as I like stuff like the 720 and you know, that level of craziness, like, it's disappointing. And Chris Harris articulated it sort of on Twitter today, but the separation of now it's just going to be eggs for the city and then these crazy.
Yeah,
you know, hypercars and or fairly mass market. Quote supercars, which I think is not really a great place to be if you're a car enthusiast. It's like, what do you do if you don't have, you know, $400,000 to go buy a Ferrari F8 or whatever the fuck?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, where's like that's sort of why at Road and Track, like why we were so stoked on the Veloster N because it's like this thing is rowdy. It's $30,000. Like people can go get like. A lease or a loan and just like get this.
What I don't even know what that is. I've never heard.
What is a Hyundai Veloster N? Have you literally never heard of that?
You are too high society.
Yeah, you're very high
it's
society.
It's not my market. But,
that's true.
It's okay.
I'd love
you know
to
what
drive
a Veloster
one?
Is? Is in general the 3-door sort of funky looking hatchback thing?
No idea.
Oh boy. You just show her fucking Veloster N is.
It's like your 500E but
that.
More fun.
You don't know what that is? It's a Hyundai hatchback?
I don't know.
Can you really never say you've seen this before?
I might have. It just didn't, photo. You know, like stick in my brain. I don't know.
Well, look,
but it looks cool. I drive one.
It's a 270 horsepower hatchback with a 6-speed manual and a proper limited slip differential. And it has some really well-tuned backfires when you shift. And it has good brakes and a tight chassis and good turn-in. It's very fun.
That's awesome.
And we like that very much.
Yeah.
It's like a more comfortable Mini Cooper, I feel like.
Yeah.
Mini
okay.
Cooper S, like similar agility and poise and stuff, but not quite as like, you know, shaking itself apart.
I've driven a couple Minis. They seem to be the like least comfortable cars.
But they're so fun.
If you drive one that have bigger than like 17-inch wheels on it, which everybody who gets like the sport models now, they all do 18s or whatever, they're real crashy.
Yeah.
On those. But if you can suck up your pride and get the little wheels, they ride much better.
Yeah.
But everyone wants the big rim. Yeah. I had a Mini and I put 18s on it. That's why I know. Because I bent four wheels doing
that. Oh, my
God. Because I was an idiot.
Yeah. No, I drive one.
So, wait. What else is in the garage right now? There's the CLK, the LP.
The 675.
Oh, yeah. The purple McLaren. It's purple, right?
Purple and gold. Yeah. I just did that Netflix show.
You did Fastest Car? Did they let you bring that?
Yeah.
See?
Yeah.
That seems cheaty.
Why? No, that's the point. They're supposed to have like one supercar and then the rest like garage built cars.
I'm
and
not
going
to lie and told you I watched the episode. How'd it go?
Yeah.
Did you win?
No, I didn't win.
That's why it's not cheaty.
Yeah.
Who won?
So I was up against three other cars. One was like a drift car. Mm-hmm. So that was Miss Amelia. She's adorable.
Oh, I love her.
Yeah,
Amelia Hartford?
Yeah,
super Oh, she's
cute.
So sweet. I love her. She needs to come back on the show soon.
Yeah, but it was a drift car. So, yeah. You know,
it's like an LS drift car too, yeah. Right? Yeah, like proper drift car.
And the other two were actual like drag cars, like mm-hmm. super light, 1,000 horsepower. Like one was a Mini Cooper that was like, I think under 1,500 pounds or something like that.
Like, really? Like an old Mini?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah, it was
really?
Insane. I'm like, okay.
Was it like rear engine craziness kind of thing?
Yeah. Oh, so, like, cool. I mean, when it took off, it was in the lane beside me and it kind of like did this little jump. I was like, fuck.
I know. I've been there. I know how it goes.
And I was actually what I was like, my biggest fear, like doing that show, because I was like, these cars are just like, they're not like that safe.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Oh, there it is. Yeah, there's a screen grab. Yeah, yeah, okay. So we've got, yeah, you got this fairly mild-looking Mini Cooper.
Yeah.
Your McLaren. I see Amelia's 240. And then what's that black thing back there? Some kind of sedan?
GTO.
It was a Pontiac, yeah.
Oh, GTO. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and that's the guy who actually won. So I was trying to do my launch.
Mm-hmm.
And so the beginning of the race from red to green wasn't on, like, a timer. It was just some dude, like, manually operating and going, go. And so I'm trying to, like, time my launch. And, you know, you have, like, a few seconds to take off once you get the boost ready.
Yeah, yeah.
So that died. So I was trying to relaunch it. And I'm, like, looking at my buttons. And I look up and everybody left.
Like, that's what happened. Because I watched
like,
it.
I
okay.
looked up and I was like, oh, shit. Like, everybody's already, like, two car lengths. So
Did
I was
you
like,
say you had a blonde moment?
No, I was trying to launch my car.
No, it's hard. You're trying to launch and there's a PA holding the button. And he's looking at his phone. And he's like, swipe, swipe. Oh, ding.
Exactly. Yeah. So I did. I catched up. I passed.
I'm sorry. Catched up?
Caught up. Thank you.
I hit the
Thank
gas
you.
Real hard. I catched up to most of them. But
actually, not even from the South.
I know. But the person who says catched up is?
Catched up. I catched up.
I totally sympathize.
So I caught up, passed Amelia, and then I was like, you know, if I had a little more time, I would have won. But I didn't. I lost.
That's okay. We
the cars
you.
Were fucking fast. I mean,
but
that Mini. It,
I
and
have blonde
they were
hair.
Really crazy.
And I'm hot, so fuck it.
I'm glad you've embraced it.
Yeah.
For a long time, you were like,
I don't.
You tried to downplay that.
I tried.
Embraced.
I
Go
tried
ahead, embrace.
To. I'm embracing that.
Did you enjoy the experience of making reality TV television on Netflix?
Yeah.
You can
yeah.
be honest.
No, it was a great experience. It was overall. It was like a lot of interviews and things, and it was interesting the way they cut it because it wasn't necessarily like, came together in a super, you know, great way, but it worked out. It was fun.
Get any business from it?
It's hard to track whether definitely a lot of people have called me and like been interested and been like, oh, I saw you on that show and blah, blah, blah. So it's gotten some interest. I
was
don't
anything
know if it resulted
like me,
in like dollars in my bank account.
Yeah. Was anything with me like one person wants to give you money for something and then 10 people say, I saw you on that thing. Can I have a job?
That's yeah, how. That's more actually it's been the opposite. I've had people like send me messages like asking me for money. And like some lady was like, oh, yeah, like I had this similar like experience growing up as you. And I'm like, huh? And she's like, so I'm trying to buy my first house and I'm a single mom and I'm just like 15 grand short. Could you just lend it to me? And I'm like,
what?
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, wow. I don't respond. But mostly really great messages, mostly like people saying like, thank you for sharing your story. And it was inspirational. And I don't really think of myself as inspirational, but it's nice that people saw it that way. I got my first dick pic. That was very exciting.
Did you?
Yeah. I almost
I'm
missed
shocked
it.
That was your first.
It
How
was
is
my
that your
first,
first.
Because I don't really put myself out there like that. So
Even so.
I yeah. No, I felt left out for
you
like
hang
all
out
these
in
years.
Beverly
like
Hills.
All these girls are like, look, I got a dick pic. And I'm like, I've never gotten a dick pic. I feel like really left out.
Did you feel like you're missing out? When you got the first one, were you like,
I was like, yes. I got nice. My first. No, just kidding. So I almost Damn missed it. So it was
me.
So people kept sending me pictures of like me on their TV screens.
Oh yeah.
And then so I got one. This guy was like me on the TV screen, and then there was like a mirror beside his TV, and I almost like just scrolled through it and just like moved on. And then I was like, "What's that reflection in the mirror?" And I like opened it up, and I was like, "Oh my god!" And
yes.
it's a guy laying in his bed naked with his dick in his hand. And I was like, I got my first dick pic. This is
That's
so exciting.
Nice. And it was on like a wide angle lens with the TV in the background
and
everything.
Yeah, it was really weird.
He
and
really
then
set up that shot nicely to
but
get
he
the
did.
Shot.
He did.
This is like
he put some planning into that. But
like,
I panicked.
Did he put the camera here and then run across the room and set on a timer?
No, I think he was had his phone and he took the picture, so all I saw was like regret asking the about reflection.
He's like Cool Hand Luke. He's just bank shot, you know.
So weird.
Paul Newman.
So yeah, I panicked because I was like, I didn't know what to do. I was like, oh my god, so crazy. What do? So I was like trying to press like delete, but then I press that little heart button, like where you tap on it, and like the heart.
Double tap to like?
I was like,
oh no.
Shit. So then
you
like,
don't know how to use the internet so good.
You don't. This is so funny.
Yeah.
Every girl I've talked to is like, these are the worst pictures ever to get.
So then I like went to his page and like blocked him before he could see the little heart button. I was like, shit.
Well, now you're sending mixed messages, and he's like, she likes it, but then she blocked me, plain hard to get.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I should make a new account and send her another dick pic. Just in case.
I probably should have said that. I'm so naive. Sometimes I'm probably going to get like 50 dick pics tonight.
Oh, no. You're really... Please,
if you're
be
listening
nice
to
Amber.
This, yeah, don't, please.
Wait, what was that? What engine was in that mini, Zach? I saw you found it. What
did you say? 3.5 liter V6.
Fuck.
It's 500 horsepower.
Is that a Honda, like a Honda 3.5? That sounds like the kind of...
I don't know, man. Rear engine to the drag strip. Yeah. Like, I can't play these videos, but the thing took off like you shot a cat in the ass with a BB gun. I mean, it was gone, and it stayed. It also had the top end. Like, it lost by 2 feet to... How much horsepower was that Camaro or that GTO? Like,
it was a lot.
1,800 or something?
Something insane, yeah.
Mini was real close.
Yeah.
Really, really impressive.
Good
close.
For yeah. that person.
Yeah.
Yeah, that guy was just happy. He came to beat a McLaren, and he beat the McLaren.
And also, good for the casting director who found that car.
Yeah.
This is the kind of content I am here to see.
Yeah. It was great content.
Did you see, have you seen Hyperdrive on Netflix?
I haven't.
It's kind of good.
It seems crazy.
Rutledge's show. Yeah. You got to be willing to fuck your car up. It's the little...
Somebody had reached out to me about that.
Yeah,
and then
they
said, like, basically, your car's going to get fucked up and we're not paying for it.
Yeah.
And that was the end of the conversation for me.
Yeah. But most people had, like, you know, fairly ratty drift cars, and it wasn't like a big... it's not the kind of thing. One guy tried to do it in a Huracan.
Oh.
And... He had installed a handbrake on it and a selectable all-wheel drive system that he could turn off, which kind of worked, actually. He got farther than I expected him to, frankly.
Yeah.
He was terrible at using the handbrake.
Yeah,
He couldn't... The course requires like a lot of long slides to hit these different like checkpoints and clipping things. And so he could like... e-brake turn to whack something in like a low speed, but he couldn't carry a slide with it.
Yeah.
And mid-engine's not great for that, but if you're really good, you can obviously do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, the guys with the traditional guy and women, some really phenomenal women drivers with traditional like drift car setups did the best.
Yeah.
But it was a fucking cool show.
Yeah. That's really, next on my list of shows I want to watch.
Yeah. Like,
was there anybody that we know from the industry that went on it?
Busy is like strangely in the audience. He appears in one episode and like I think he was just helping one of the other people who was racing.
Yeah.
And like but they cut to a crowd shot of Busy like so many times and he's just like has no real reason to be right where he's sitting, but it makes me smile just seeing his smiling face clapping every time
I
see him.
So sweet.
Yeah. No, there's like it's a pretty international thing. There's two different French guys, there's two Brazilian guys, a Japanese guy, the German
well,
husband
couple
and wife
were great. That lady with like German. The E63 coupe.
It was a 500,
right?
She had one of those E500 coupes, like the pillarless ones, and turned it into a drift car.
Oh, like the SEC or whatever?
No, newer, like a 2011 or 12, like a modern E500. Or E550.
Oh, wow.
E550 coupe.
She was good.
It was, look at this thing. It's actually kind of a rad
looks
looking.
Looks rad.
Kind of a rad looking car. I mean, very, you know, like your CLK DTM kind of done to a to an E-Class. But it looks like it's got a lot of custom parts on it. Who the fuck makes parts for that thing?
I think they run like a fab shop, like a German fab shop. That's why, and he was running an E30 sedan with a V8 swap or something.
No,
so.
A 2J. Yeah.
Right? Oh,
a
2J? I can't remember.
A 2J in it. Yeah, it was fucking
it was cool.
No,
like
it was maybe an S54.
It was definitely a V8. Yes. Yeah. It was a BMW V8. Yeah, there's a lot of, cool the French car. Guy with the Charger, he had this huge, like, drift-ready Charger that he ran with a full cage, and he got really, really far, which is cool.
Yeah, it's a cool
show.
Good
mix of stuff.
I was a fan.
I will watch it.
Yeah. Did you go to SEMA?
I didn't go to SEMA.
How nice do you feel?
I know.
How rested do you feel?
I feel pretty good. Yeah.
Did you see anything there that that caught your eye via the gram or any of that?
I actually, deleted Facebook and Instagram from my phone. I know. It's very liberating.
Yeah?
Yeah.
How do you feel?
I feel really good.
Do you feel like you're missing out on anything?
Not at all.
Really?
None.
That's
zero.
So nice.
I have all this extra time. I don't know what to do with myself. So I did this weird thing. Like, I started to exercise.
It's a good thing to do with your time.
No, but I seriously, like, I would look at my phone and I'd be like, holy shit, I've been on like Instagram or Facebook for like 40 minutes.
Oh, when they started doing this, the status updates where it was like your use, yeah, your daily time usage, that's fucking depressing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I'm like, what did I just do with all my time? This is such a waste. So I literally just deleted the apps a couple weeks ago, and I think I downloaded it for like a couple hours to put some stuff up and down again.
Is there a way to use Instagram from a computer at all? Or do you have to use it from a phone?
You can look at it. I don't think you can post from a computer.
I know you can look at it. We're looking at it right now. But you can't. There's no way to post from a computer, right?
I don't think so.
Because I would totally delete off all this shit from my phone if I could post on it from a computer.
Yeah.
I totally would. I'd schedule my posts in the morning and then go about my business.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I gave my manager like my login, and so I'm like, here, I'll text him a picture and say, post this up.
That's nice. You have people for that.
Yeah.
That's what people are for. I can't wait to have some people.
I know. We got to get some people.
No, I do. I have people coming for the shop.
Yeah. Oh,
yes,
good.
I will have people.
You're going to have people. I need coffee.
I know.
I need...
I didn't hire them yet in terms of the fact that I'm not paying them yet, but I committed to hire three people, a GM and then two like valet attendants, both of whom are seemingly rock stars.
That's great.
I'm excited.
That's great.
Yeah.
You'll have lots of people then.
Yeah. Hey, fans, get up in the super chat if you're with us live. We're taking your questions. I drove the Taycan. Amber's driven that's the animation of our underground level. You were down there.
Yeah.
So
very impressive.
Doesn't it look like it looks?
Yeah. Totally.
We added some things later. We added those backlit pillars and all that stuff later.
Yeah. No, I've been like raving about those lifts.
I'm so excited.
Four car lifts.
I'm so excited.
The coolest thing I've ever seen in my life.
I just ordered
people pictures and they're like, "That's great, Amber."
Yeah, no one cares until they think it's amazing. I just ordered 36
reels. Trying to show
reels.
My girlfriends, I'm like, four car lifts, and they're like, what do you do with that?
So many people are worried about the car being on the lift. I don't understand what the concern is. People are, it's like, what about?
Well, I think it's a car in the air, you know, it just freaks people out.
I guess, but people are like, well, what if I need the car? It's like, we take it off the lift. It takes like 90 seconds. It's not, it's like, no. In New York City, they're doing these on the fly.
Yeah.
You know, we have a call ahead process.
Yeah, no, I can't tell you how many times, like, at my shop, I'll be, like, under a car on a lift, and people come, don't be under there. It's not safe. I'm like, this is my job.
No.
I just hang out under lifts all day, under cars. On lifts.
Do you see the photo of there's a Chevy shop that was like doing a frame replacement on a Tahoe, and they didn't torque the bolts down enough before they started to like lift it, and they lifted it from the body, and it just, the body fell off of the frame and then dragged the frame off of the lift.
Oh God.
Like, no one got hurt, but it was, I'll find a photo. It was
really?
A big problem. It was a big problem.
I actually had a car fall off a lift.
Did you really?
Right next to me. Yeah. I was at somebody else's shop. This was years ago. And I heard this like creaking, like creak, creak. And I was like, that's weird. And I'm like looking around. What is that? And then I look like literally like a foot beside. I'm like right by. And the car's like tilting over because it was one of those in-ground lifts that had the two sides. And so the one side was like,
oh God,
sinking down. I was like, fuck.
Oh my God.
The thing just fell on its side.
Is that the most catastrophic thing that you've ever seen happen in a shop in your career?
No, I mean, I've seen cars blow up. Mm. I've seen a lot of strange things. I saw somebody get their finger cut off.
That's bad.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus, that's bad.
Yeah.
How do you fix that?
We're looking at the Chevy that fell off the lift. That's why.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, you don't know. The owner got a new car.
Yeah.
He was at a dealership. And he came, you know, and they were nice and they gave him a new car. But
now you're the dealership owner. All right, Amber, this happens in your shop. God forbid. What do you do? How do you
clean? You just call your insurance company.
How do you clean that up?
You just cut the car up, I guess. I don't know. You wait till the insurance comes, I suppose.
This is a perfect State Farm ad. It's like, we've covered that.
Yeah. And then you just take it apart and move it on.
That's crazy.
That's mental.
What's the nicest car to work on in terms of like cars that are like if I wanted to buy, because I'm considering buying like a depreciated Italian car maybe to daily drive around LA
Which
and
is
actually
like
put,
all of them right now or
yeah, but like I wouldn't mind putting like 20 or 30,000 miles on a 360 or a 430 if it was the right
one. Do a 430.
More robust?
Yeah. I think they're just a little better.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I think the 360 is prettier and sounds better.
You like, well, I mean, it was whatever you like.
I know.
A 355.
I'm not doing engine outs. Out of here. Sir, engine in car services only, please.
Yeah.
From now on.
Yeah. Well, no, a lot of them are engine outs, so.
I know, but yeah. when you're working on these cars, like, what's the one you want to buy in terms of, like, that's not really a pain in the ass to deal with?
Wow.
Are any of them like bad? I mean, obviously Porsche.
Porsche. Yeah. I mean, that's really it. Those cars, you can get the engine out in an hour or two and have it on the ground and do whatever you need to do. The other ones, yeah, they're all kind of a pain.
That's they're unfortunate.
Not- are there any that the marks that surprised you with how little maintenance they need and any that you thought were going to be very robust and actually need a lot more tinkering?
No.
They're all about even?
Yeah. Yeah.
And they all need a lot. Do they all need a lot? Like, are they getting more and more reliable as time goes on, or
yeah.
Getting worse?
No, I think the newer cars are definitely getting a lot more reliable than obviously like pre like 2010, 2011.
458s are like really reliable.
Yeah.
They just like work.
Yeah. And the Aventadors are amazing.
Are they really?
You almost never do a clutch on those cars. Like the Mercedes Prior.
Oh.
Like those, well. And that's an engine out for the, I mean, some people can do a clutch with the engine in, but yeah, it's those cars were a lot of work, and now
those e-gears would
better.
Launch clutches though like crazy.
Yes, yeah,
like,
yeah. And if you don't know how to drive them, I mean, I had clients that would get maybe 5,000 miles out of a clutch. Yeah, like
that sucks.
Can we go take some lessons?
Yeah.
I can help.
Well, those every one of those e-gear systems is operate a little differently.
Yeah.
You have to actually know how to use it.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're gonna fuck it up.
Yeah, yeah.
I recommend manual conversions.
Yeah. Yeah, mm-hmm. You can do that too. That's
can you?
That. Yeah. I haven't done one. I've heard that a couple people have done them.
On a Mercy?
Yeah.
My friend Freddie, who was in here, he restored that Fast and Furious, the Mercy.
Yeah.
The one from Fast 8 that was a completely fucked.
Believe it or not, I haven't actually watched any of those movies.
Oh, well. You're missing
yeah.
not much
so
at this point.
I live in a little bubble, like, you know.
But yeah, but you should bring those into the bubble.
Yeah.
I recommend that.
The Fast and Furious?
Yeah. You could take some time and work your way through those.
Okay. They're a laugh.
I mean, they're a staple of car culture.
Yeah, I'm missing out on a lot.
You can relate to your customers.
But some bit. I was watching the scene, this is like literally 2 nights ago, where Vin Diesel the Mercy that Freddie has,
mm-hmm.
and you know the whole crew is like they're on the ice,
yeah,
and they're like running away
on the ice,
and then suddenly Vin Diesel drives off a cliff,
yes,
and falls off the cliff, and then lands on the snow on the cliff,
mm-hmm.
and then
that's good.
Kind of sleds down and catches up, and I was just like, they
Mercy?
Didn't give a fuck about anything. No, he's what wow. is he driving? It's like a muscle car.
It's
Camaro?
A charger, but charger? It's turned into like a. Ice racer.
It's like wide body charger
with a turbine.
The
turbine charger.
Was that
charger?
The one I just did? I just did a show. I worked on a production the other night.
It was like a. It's a gray. It's like a gray, like apocalypse kind
of
color.
It's just there's like some of the movies have good practical effects, and then they'll suddenly do something that makes no sense. Couldn't exist in the real world. Everyone would be dead, and yet they're just like, "Yep, next scene. We're all fine."
Yeah,
but Freddie is trying to convert that car, or considering
the
converting
Maximus.
The car.
Was it this car?
The Maximus.
What is this? It's like 2,000.
What am I talking about?
Horsepower.
Oh well, that's a Fast
and
Furious car.
I've heard
this
of that
is
car.
The bare metal one. It's not the same.
Yeah. That thing's awesome. Though.
This is the one
so
he's showing
a...
you. That one.
Oh okay.
Which is
okay.
like wide body ice. Knobby tire-ish, like tarmac rally car setup kind of thing.
Got it.
Well, it's pretty cool. They paraded that
ice.
Thing around for a bit.
Love
yeah.
it.
And by the way, I'm an idiot because Freddie wasn't converting a Mercy. He was going to try and convert an Aventador to stick.
Oh, okay.
That was going to be his goal.
Oh, interesting.
Which, using a Mercy gearbox, which
okay.
I think he thinks can be done.
Okay.
I don't know.
Yeah, I'm excited to see that.
Good luck. it's all for the lulls. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's his Fast and Furious Mercy in my building. I'm storing it for him for a little bit.
Okay.
Till he gets back, or till the truck comes to take it home to.
Oh, that's very cool.
Wherever the fuck it's
was that
going.
Thing out
Florida.
Driving around Beverly Hills recently?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. He said he was talking about going over to Rodeo Drive and seeing some real shitbaggery from some people who have Instagram handles on their cars.
Yeah.
Your customers. No, I'm just kidding. No, they're like kids.
Yeah, no, I feel like I saw that car at some point recently.
Yeah, it was at SEMA, and it's been in L.A. for like a week and a half.
Okay, got it.
Let's go to the people. Get in the super chat if you've got questions for the Ambers, or let's see. Is this the correct? Is this from today? This is right
now. Mm-hmm. You're looking at it now.
Oh, Miguel Flores. It's this. This is a question that seems like it's from weeks ago. Thoughts on Motor Trend's dyno numbers for C8? Their horsepower number is impossible. Camisa has an Instagram post about it. Yeah, they issued a correction like yesterday or today.
Really?
Yeah,
they pulled the original post down like a day after, I think.
Yeah, someone did some fucked up math and the thing came out wrong. It was wrong. It was just wrong. Like, and they might have like defended it, but like it was definitely wrong. Like, that car makes the advertised horsepower. It does. MB is Frenchie says, why do paint protection films peel? I see them everywhere from my cars to Bugatti dealers. First, install bubbles. Oh my God! This guy's just complaining about
paint protection.
Yeah,
films.
Why isn't it? Why do they peel?
They sometimes peel because some people do these pre-cut kits where you can just on your plotter like cut out the pattern of each individual fender, bumper, whatever part on your car. There's programs that give you that, and so it doesn't actually go around the edges when you do the pre-cut kits. I don't
do those.
It
stops right on the
edge.
Yes,
it goes
right. Yeah.
And especially if you have a light color car, you'll start to see like a dark line around every panel.
Yeah, the dirt catches, yeah.
I do custom cut clear bra, so it goes around the edges. We actually take a lot of parts of the car off and wrap around the edges so it doesn't peel and you don't see that little weird little line that goes on them.
There you go. Get a better installer, MB
yeah,
and Frenchie.
Just don't
get a
do
custom
pre-cut
install.
Kits.
There you go.
Yeah.
This dude Chris West, who did my 9/11, he's with Expel.
Yeah.
And
I know who that is.
You know
yeah.
Chris, the guy
yeah.
from Alaska.
Yeah.
Ridiculous. Yeah. Ridiculous. You can't see anything. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Arash says best dog breed, motherfucking pit bull.
Yeah. Fuck yeah.
Right.
Motherfucking pit bull.
Yeah.
They are.
They're amazing.
They're great.
Oh, another one. MB is Frenchy with another one. Mechanics, detailers, film installers you know in New York. AI Design in Tuckahoe is who I would use. Detailers, Larry Casilla.
Of course.
Do you know anybody in New York that you trust to do things? Negative?
Really have, yeah. I mean, I know a few people. I can't think of their names, though.
All right. Well, then go with mine.
Yeah, go with
mine. AI Design in Tuckahoe.
He's got them.
Ask Matt for Matt. Tell Matt that Matt sent you. That's what I tried to say there. Ryukachu says, is seconding a 500E recommendation? Was there a 500E recommendation?
We were talking about that drift car. I think
oh,
he's just
the
like,
car.
Yes,
oh,
that's a good
yes,
idea.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah.
However, there's a shop or two trying to design an aftermarket level 3 quick charging module. Oh. Oh, the Fiat 500E.
Oh.
I was on a Mercedes kick. Oh, Fiat 500E for $7,000. Yes. However, level 3 quick charging, so you can get faster charging maybe.
Oh, thank God.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Stay tuned. Thank you.
Rubba
V Dub says, what's a logical upgrade from a Stage 2 B6 Passat with full track suspension for less than $20,000? I love the car, but the DSG is failing. Logical upgrade. A Golf R, probably. 20,
for 20, though?
Yeah.
For less than 20?
Oh.
Yeah. Something with a bigger engine.
That would be logical.
Like a G8.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like a Focus ST used, maybe?
Yeah. That's probably less than 20 nowadays.
Passat is so big. Like, that's a big fucking car. Like, what can you get anything, like a Lexus IS 350, right? Like a used IS 350 you could probably get for $20,000 or less, maybe.
Probably. It won't feel that fast.
An IS,
you're in a weird
ISF?
Spot, though, with like, ISF, yes.
ISF.
If it's
used.
ISF, for sure.
Yeah, it's going to be right around that mark.
Yeah.
Man, get out of that Passat, though. Steven says, in the video of Paul Walker's AE collection back in the day was the stockpile of Celine's Paul or Roger's cars. Those were all Roger Rodas's cars. In that video, there was a bunch of German cars and a bunch of American cars, and pretty much universally, all the American cars were Roger's cars, and all the European cars were Paul's cars. What else you got, Zach? Oh, yeah. What do we think of the electric 935 Porsche that Busy did? Did you see this thing at SEMA, Amber?
No,
he did a Porsche
935,
and there's two of them in that picture. But the one on the right, the gray one, is electric.
That's very cool.
And
Built it with EV West, right?
I don't know.
Okay.
I just saw the picture.
They work together.
What do I think of it? I think it's cool.
Yeah.
It's a SEMA car. I'll really have something to say when I drive it. Oh, is this a little video? Is that a play button, Zach? What do we have here? Oh, this is like
this is a mashup of Porsche stuff. I mean, it looks really cool.
Is that the back with that fucking crazy Walter Wolf thing? That looks awesome.
That is pretty cool.
I mean, they did it like full 935 race car.
Hey, Busy, hit me up. I want to drive that. That looks fun.
I want to drive that.
That looks fucking awesome. I mean, I bet it's great fun. How is it not? How'd it not be great fun?
Yeah.
That's probably delightful. Hopefully, Busy put the right brakes on it. He likes going straight, not stopping. E-Rock says, I got a rare opportunity to buy a 1993 Mustang GT manual with 50 miles on it. Wow. Brand new, never registered, window sticker on it. How much do I offer?
I don't know anything about those
Let's
cars.
See.
What's the market on them?
I mean, brand new, never registered.
It might be a problem to register it, no?
Maybe, but even as a collector's item, I think probably like 25K is where I'd start. I mean, you might have to pay up to 30 or 35K maybe even a little more. Brand new, never registered 93 Fox body could be a high dollar item. I think 25 to 30K is a starting bid. That they at least they'll come back. They might not sell to you for that, but they'll come back with something. They won't laugh at you.
Yeah.
And that's probably market.
Is he getting the car to actually drive it or just...
You can't.
Yeah.
You can't drive that.
Yeah.
The entire virtue of that car is that it's not been driven.
Exactly.
Yeah. You put it in
Tupperware and then...
Yeah. I mean, that's the unfortunate truth of a car like that. Is that you have to pay a premium to buy it because of that. And then once you own it, you can't drive
it. And it's not going to be very drivable if it's been sitting for...
You have to rebuild the entire car.
Yeah.
All the seals are going to be dried out.
The hoses.
Yeah.
Fluids are probably all sludgy.
Order an oversized cake pan for underneath. Yeah.
Cars don't like to not be driven.
But if you happen to have a car museum and or a big place to keep something like that, neat piece.
Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah.
Too bad it's a GT and not an LX. That'd be rad. Probably 40K if it was an LX. Evan says, for an easy, fun to drive on a back road, do you prefer mid-engine or front-engine rear drive cars? Amber, what do you think?
Back what?
If on a spirited drive on a back road.
On a back road.
Would you rather drive a front engine, rear drive car, or a mid-engine car?
A mid-engine.
Me too.
Yeah.
I think mid-engine is really where it's at these days.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yep.
It's just a lot more well-balanced in any kind of driving situation.
And I like sitting down over those front fenders like that. I like that view. I don't like sitting
You can see so much.
Yeah.
You really can.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. Let's see. Parker says, how many budget ballers have tried to get work done at GI? A lot.
Well, yeah. I mean, yeah. There's some of those.
Most people pay.
Yeah.
And last one. Is it the end?
That's the end.
All right. Yeah. Last one before we get out of here. How reliable are the DB9 GTs? Anything to check over? You know anything about the DB9 GT?
I mean, the...
Into the microphone, please.
Yeah, sorry, microphone. The older Austins definitely get them checked out. I mean, they need a lot of maintenance.
Do they?
Yeah.
Like a DB9 needs a lot of things?
Yeah, I mean, the newer ones are amazing. They've made huge improvements with Aston, but the older ones need maintenance. It's just part of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it anything crazy that falls apart? Like, oh, that's... Or is it just, the sensor breaks, or, you know, they leak, or they just need
frequent
oil change. Something.
It's a variety of things.
That's what you want to hear. You're just like, a lot of stuff.
Yeah. I'm not going to lie. They need some love.
The Advantage
is
supposedly okay.
Well, the newer ones, like I said, they're great. I mean,
DB9 GT is not that old. That's like four or five years old, right?
No, it was a DB9. Those are a little older.
When's a DB9 GT?
Yeah.
That's the, I think that's the end of the DB9s.
The DB...
The DB9 GT...
The current ones, and yeah.
I think it was the end.
What are the years those are made?
I don't know. It's a nice car, though.
But I mean, I've had a lot of DB9s in.
What is the 200K? Fuck me, that's expensive.
I need a year on
this. What's the date on that?
2016.
No, oh, yeah. It's not that old. That should be fine. That's an automatic. Yeah. Should be okay.
Automatic with a V12.
Yeah, it shouldn't be horrible.
I just want to thanks to Caspar. He's the guy that brought the Ferrari 308 for me to drive all the way from Colorado. So thank you for your donation, Caspar.
Oh, nice.
And thank you for your car. That was awesome. Nice. Awesome.
Oh, and then I guess
did you like the 308?
Yeah, it was cool. Yeah.
It was Dino 308 Dino.
308 Dino GT4. Yeah. It was really
Those are like the last Dinos, right?
Yeah. The box, the Burton ones.
Yes.
The
yeah.
square ones.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're cool.
It was very cool.
Yeah. Very cool. I'm selling a couple now.
You're what?
Selling a couple Dinos right now.
You are?
Yeah.
But like old Dinos, right?
Yeah,
curvy 74s, Dinos.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Chairs and flares.
Mm-hmm. For
those are gorgeous. Anybody wants a chairs and flares Dino?
Got a few?
Two.
Is that that's a pretty low number of Dinos for Tony, isn't it?
Yeah, he was a big Dino guy.
Well, he's the Dino guy.
Yeah, was. Yeah.
Are we allowed to talk about that, or just do we have to pretend Tony doesn't exist?
Oh, no, Tony exists.
Okay, yeah. Tony's Amber's boyfriend, and he's a monster Ferrari collector. he has all the good ones.
He has a little bit of a Ferrari problem, yes.
But he made a bit of a name for himself by being the Chairs and Flares Dino guy.
Yeah,
and I think fucking hoarding all the Dinos.
He tried
he's
to buy
the guy.
Many.
He's the Dino
he's
guy.
The guy?
Yeah, he's the Dino guy. Yeah.
He is that guy.
They tell stories, the legends of the Chairs and Flares Dino guy.
Oh, is there? I didn't know.
a lot. It's a story that collectors tell each other because it's a story of basically one guy being able to corner the entire market of a car that at the time didn't have a whole lot of value.
Yeah.
And it ended up having an enormous amount of value.
Yeah. Yeah. No, he's great at creating value. And
Dinos were fucking cheap.
Yeah.
What were the, like, what's the, like, were they down in, like, $40,000, $50,000 range, right?
Were they?
I think at one point.
I didn't know that, but, I mean, possibly.
How low,
yeah.
I don't know how low they
now
got.
Now they're in the high threes to five.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they're gorgeous. They're gorgeous cars. Yeah. They're important cars.
Yeah.
I've never actually driven one.
Really?
No, never.
Come drive one.
Can I?
Yeah.
I'd love to have a quick go in one.
Yeah.
Are they nice?
Yeah, I haven't driven them too much. Just moved them a little bit, but
I mean, they're so goddamn pretty.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But when you see them in person, they are minuscule.
They're
tiny. They're very small. Yes.
And they're not fast, right? Yeah. Like the engine's kind of meh, and we didn't get a great one here, but they're cool.
I think David Lee did a build on one and try to improve the performance a little bit.
Yeah. But you don't need him to be that fast.
Oh, yeah. He put a fucking, like...
Yeah.
He's now... There was some discrepancy. He said he put an F40 engine in that car, which I had four different people tell me was bullshit. They said it was really like a 348 or a Mondial 3.2 block with like a motorsport head and some other shit kind of like put together.
I think he gave the short version.
Yeah.
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 F40 engine would be really expensive.
Well, it gets you the headlines though, doesn't it?
Yes.
And I mean, it's not like that dude couldn't afford an F40 engine if he wanted one. Yeah. He's got all the money in the world, but like I just don't think that was an entirely accurate description of what that car was. But I've seen that car.
Yeah,
and
but it's a good way to get attention.
Cool. Yes, very good.
It worked for him.
A very good way to
get attention. A lot of attention from Ferrari as well. They love that.
Good attention or bad attention?
No, don't you remember there was this like whole article he kind of called him out in the LA Times?
Oh, no,
and
I don't.
Like, ban him from...
Oh, is it for that?
Well, I think that was like one of like a few things, but
didn't he write some editorial like bitching because he couldn't buy an Aperta or something?
Yes,
that was awful petty.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's a Ferrari world, right?
I don't know. I guess. I mean, I remember the thing with Glickenhaus back in the day with, you know, the P45, and it was like, could it be badged a Ferrari? Couldn't it be badged? You know, and he got Ferrari shit on him, but then, like, Ferrari allowed him to have the badge, and now he's like, buddy, and now everything is great, and, you know, it's like, it's all just so weird.
It's a lot of politics just to have a fucking car.
I know.
Yeah.
It's just way too much to navigate. Like, I just want a car. I just want to drive it, have some fun, and you got to navigate all this stuff. But I think it's changing.
The Ferrari people
take themselves very seriously. Yeah. Well, it's a publicly traded company now, so they're kind of like, I think, trying to level the playing field a little bit to where it's not going to be quite, you know, the whatever you might want to call it.
What do I want to call it?
Yeah, I don't know. I won't. I'll just not politics. As, not the politics. Yeah, yeah. It won't be as many politics. I'll just be very diplomatic.
Let's hope so.
Once was, but I think that's going to kind of all level out.
Right.
I mean, they've got like 14 new models coming in the next couple of years.
14?
I think so.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
It's right. You know what a time it is. It's time to buy the stick shift cars.
Yeah.
If they have 14 new models coming out, it's time to buy the stick shift cars.
Hold on, I'm going to show you a quick picture. You tell me what you think this thing is.
Is there a new one?
What the fuck is that?
This is a Ferrari? The new baby Ferrari.
Oh, yeah, I was just going to show you a picture of that.
Oh, so wait, so this is
the... Look at the back.
Well, it's kind of good looking. So that looks like a DB11.
It with looks Camaro like an tail Aston lights. Or an AMG GT.
Yeah, it's DB11 and Camaro taillights.
I think it's... If you have a Vantage, you're going to trade it in for this because it's better looking than the Vantage, I think. Especially the back.
But I think it's probably going to be like twice the price of a Vantage.
Oh.
Because you can get a Vantage for like maybe like, I think they're 170 and up.
Uh-huh.
And this is probably going to be like in the threes.
Is it? Jeez. How much is a Portofino?
Those are like in the high twos, aren't they?
What? Is this going under or over the Portofino?
Who knows? I don't know.
Well, I mean, it's pretty good looking. I'm... That front, that nose has a lot of McLaren 720 in it. That first little bit has a lot of 720, and then I see a lot of other cars there.
They're all starting to look alike.
Well, yeah. They have so many standards of like market and crash standards and you know, pedestrian safety. Like the hoods have to be the same height and all that stuff. Yeah. I don't know. It's got a good profile. I'm not sure about the front yet. I don't know. I have to see it in person.
Yeah.
His light's a little
kinda
weird.
Kind of has that Monza front a little bit.
Yes. Yeah. Have you seen one of them yet?
You can't drive. They're not going to be street legal.
What?
No, the Monzas? No.
The single seat thing?
Yeah, not for the U.S.
It's not street legal.
I don't believe so.
What about the two seat one? No windshield?
Yeah. You can't drive
really?
On the street.
Oh. You haven't found a loophole for that yet?
No.
Fucking bullshit.
Yeah,
in case
I
wondering what an 810 horsepower Ferrari with no windshield was a good idea.
I was on the coolest boat ride when I was in Italy.
It was like a Riva?
No, it was a boat full of Ferraris. It had two Monzas.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, what's that about?
This is so exciting. So I was at the Ferrari Cavalcade, and we were shipping all the cars from the mainland to Capri.
Mm.
And there was this like nice party going on the upper deck, and I was down with all the cars because that's where I felt like I needed to be.
Now that Zach's got this picture up, I totally see the connection to the other car.
Totally. The headlights are probably from that car.
Yeah. Yep. That's cool. I see it now. Thanks for getting that picture. I'll fuck with that.
Yeah.
Monza's cool looking.
It's super cool.
I mean, it's an idea that no one needs, but it's still fun to see it. What was it? The SLR, the Speedster?
The Sterling Moss. Yeah.
It was also pretty
cool. That was the coolest SLR.
Just hit play.
Oh, boy. I mean, it's a video. Jesus Christ. Well, I don't know. Well, it's not going to help me. Hang on. Ready? Go to there. All right, yeah. It's just a boat full of Ferraris.
Yeah, literally a boat full of Ferraris.
Jeez.
Well, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Just totally relatable. Totally relatable for me.
Boat captain's a little nervous.
Yeah.
That was the Italian guy who was like, hey, guys, watch this.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming in, man.
Yeah. Thank you for having me.
What do you want to promote? It. Anything? German Independent?
GI Automotive Group in Beverly Hills. It's on Robertson. We do repair, maintenance, and everything else. I feel like one of those like commercials.
Well, that's what
you're
here for.
Come on down to GI Automotive Group.
Love it.
Yeah.
Love it. Thanks for coming in, man. I appreciate
it. Thanks for having me.
We got a double fucking header tomorrow. I got Mr. JWW, James Walker, in the morning.
Oh, that's a guy from Europe, right?
From the UK.
And then
we got John Klein and Colin Woodard together in the afternoon. And so that will be very exciting. Doubleheader of podcasting tomorrow. That's all for us. Thank you very much. The Smoking Tire Podcast is powered by Shout Engine. Get your own damn podcast at shoutengine.com. It's easy. All you need is a connection to the internet, a microphone, and ideally something to say. Good night, everybody. Get our shirts on Blipshift for a few more days.